there's a serendipity sometimes about Scripture and the liturgy and our very gifted and willing worship leaders. The prayer for today, we're not in the lectionary for the next 7 weeks. And we've written out the readings, Gospel and all the other readings, related to our theme, which is love, faith, and faithfulness. Because today we're exploring, in this next season into Lent, we're exploring faithful God, faithful church. And we're examining ourselves before God, which is a good Lenten duty, and thinking about what this means for us as a community and as a family of God's in Australind. But it was interesting, I don't know if you noticed, I loved this in the prayer for the day, which is related to the readings for the liturgy. It said this: Saving God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, healed the sick, brought them wholeness of body and mind, inspire us, in other words, may the Holy Spirit fill us, his disciples, so that we may constantly proclaim his gospel by our words and by the dedication and integrity of our lives. And in a sense, that's what we're looking at over the next season, the dedication and integrity of our lives before the Lord. And what that means for us as individuals, but especially as a community of faith in Christ here in Australind. So that's just wonderful that that was there in our collect this morning. So let's pray and then let's get going. Father, we thank and praise you for your word. We especially thank you for your living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In him we see the fullness of God. In him you've brought full revelation of your compassion and grace and mercy to this world. In him you have saved the world through his sacrifice on the cross for all who put their faith and trust in him. Lord, we thank and praise you for Jesus. And Lord, we ask that by your Spirit, you would breathe through this next season in our lives, individually and as a church family, that we would become increasingly a community that reflect your love, your faithfulness, and that you give us the faith to live that. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in our Proverbs reading, we have these wonderful statements. My son, and of course, as a Christian, whether you're male or female, you're in Christ, and your position is that of a son. So positionally, you're a son. So when you read that. Do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years, bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So love and faithfulness. And as we were preparing this, the missing link in love and faithfulness is faith. And so we've written an explanation, which is over there and in your packs. If you're in a small group or you take the Bible study to work it out at home, you'll see us give a long introduction about this. But in order to live this life of love and faithfulness, we also need to have faith. And it's faith. If you remember the Armor of God series, when we talked about the shield of faith, we talked about putting our faith in the faithfulness of God. I don't have faith in myself, but I have faith in Jesus. I don't necessarily have faith in myself, but I have faith in God's work in me by the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? And that's really important as we begin this study. If you listen to this teaching and think of it like some kind of get better at stuff by your natural willpower, you will end up in a difficult place. You'll either end up bitter, judgmental, religious, or you might end up defeated and ashamed and condemned. Neither of those are where we're going with this teaching. That's not where we're going with this teaching, because we're relying on God's Spirit and God's Word in us to then bear fruit. And I'm going to talk about that later, that love and faithfulness are two of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But the paradox of the Christian life is, and Paul actually says this, I always forget the verse, it's basically everything of us and everything of God. It's all of us offering ourselves to God in partnership, just like we sang, bringing ourselves to the altar, the daily cross. And yet, at the same point, it's actually God in us that enables these things to flourish. And that's a hard thing to hold in tension, and it requires faith in the faithfulness of God. If you look at yourself in despair, Satan will jump on top of that. You'll get lots of condemnation. If you look at the Lord and say, Lord, I haven't got a great deal of confidence in myself to live this, but I have great confidence in your ability to fulfill your word in me. All you ask of me is offering myself. Remember in Romans 12 it says, offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And that dangerous prayer that we always pray at the end of the liturgy. Yeah? Father, we offer ourselves as... Yeah, it's in our liturgy every week. So we recognize that our old self dies, and it's the new self that's found in Christ, that's Spirit-inspired, that lives. And it's that that we're looking to grow in. So it's appropriate to be doing this series of talks in Lent, because Lent is a time when we reflect. It's an opportunity for us to put off things and to put on things. It's an opportunity to put aside habits and patterns that perhaps have got ingrained over the last 12 months. And we review our lifestyle, we review our life before God, and we ask Him to search us and know my heart. Teach me your ways, O Lord. All the stuff that Psalm 119 was talking about this morning. So that's the overall framework. Right, next thing, love and faithfulness. I could talk about this for ages. I've been reading some really interesting stuff recently. There's a thinking going on at the minute in the postmodern world that developed countries inhabit. There's a move to what some people are calling an emotive understanding of life. Now, what they mean by that is the role of feelings have taken on the most incredible power. In other words, how I feel is how I am. And if you make me feel some way, that's your fault. And we did the teaching and being together about offense and all the rest of it. Do you remember that? That actually, it's not. It's what's in our cup, to use the Living Free stuff. So we live in a very emotive society. But anyone who's ever tried to be loving and faithful knows that love and faithfulness have to go beyond our immediate feelings. Would you agree with that statement? Like, not everyone fancies crawling out of bed when it's one of the few days in W when it's raining and actually coming to fellowship with brothers and sisters. And I don't know your motivation for being here. It's lovely to welcome you all. It's great. It's a lovely encouragement. And God bless Wendy, who's traveled the furthest, I think. So thank you, Wendy, for joining us, because that must have been a real decision, crawling out and driving down and then driving. No, oh, you came locally, right? Oh, well, it's lovely. Well, thank you. But that's the point. But you set off early. It was a commitment you made to yourself, and you did it. So in other words, love and faithfulness are doing words. Yeah? And the best example of that for us as Christians is Jesus in Gethsemane. Jesus in his humanity didn't want to go to the cross in one sense. He had to wrestle himself through that moment of choice. Do you remember that? And it cost him. And what was it that motivated Jesus to overcome his natural human horror and the spiritual thing that was about to happen, which is hard to explain? What was it motivated him? Sorry? Talking to his father, yeah. His faith, that's right, in the promises of the Father and what was going to happen, yeah. And us, yes. And you could say it was love that motivated him. Love for his Father and love for us, yeah. Those of you who've had the privilege of being parents will know that crawling out of bed for the third time at 4:30 in the morning when you're beyond tired is an act of love, not felt necessarily, it's a manifestation of a commitment. Those of you who have nursed or who've worked in shifts and have gone through night shifts and have persevered through your tiredness, and there's so many other examples you could pick. Love and faithfulness are more than feelings. They're actually actions, aren't they? They're lived out in the daily life that we live, in the small choices that we make. And linked to that, given that our feelings may not necessarily point us in the direction of love and faithfulness, we have to crucify that old nature. And that's what Jesus is talking about with our daily cross. Take up your cross daily. What is it that's being put to death? It's the old nature that is being put to death, and the new nature, the Spirit enabled born again spirit in you as a human being in Christ, that's the thing that is then going to be growing in you. You may not feel it, but that's a general trajectory. And it's motivated by love. Whenever I see people struggling in the Christian life, one of the things I notice is that somewhere in the line, their experience of God's love has been blocked. When I notice people struggling in the Christian life, and when I see it in myself, it's something's blocking my experience, my knowing, my holding on to the love of God for me and my love for Him. And it's the love of God that compels us. It's the love of God that enables us to persevere in the Christian life. That's quite a tall order, isn't it? And that's where faith comes in. You have to, every day, offer that to God and say, Lord, I need your help to live this life out. I need your Spirit to grow this fruit in me. That's the way to think about it. So what does that mean for us as a church family? Well, it means that as a community, as a church family, we are supposed to be reflecting and mirroring the nature of the Father, the nature of the God whom we worship. People tend to reflect that which they worship. And we should be manifesting in our lives the qualities of God, which include the fruit of the Spirit, love and faithfulness. And in many ways we do. So this isn't condemnatory, what we're talking about. It's an examine. It's an opportunity for us to reflect together as a family and say, okay, how are we doing? How are we showing love and faithfulness to God, to one another, and to the wider community? And we do. But how might we grow in that? When we get baptized, there's a really lovely moment in the service. It's the same at a wedding, actually. We actually make a mutual commitment, and that's why I don't baptize people lightly here. I refuse to pretend when people want to get christenings done. And I encourage them to explore faith and come to faith if they're not already there. Now, other people have a different view of that, but that's my own. And basically, when we have baptisms here, we as a church family commit as a family to support that person in living out the Christian life, don't we? This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. And we commend them to battle, and we say we're going to walk with them in that life. So it's a mutual commitment to one another, isn't it? And so when we baptize in the Anglican Church, not only are we committing to one another, we're committing to all our Anglican brothers and sisters. And then in the wider sense, when you're baptized, you're committing to all Christians. It's a beautiful thing if you really reflect on it. And in our society, we've got a few examples of it. I suppose one of them is marriage. Here's an interesting fact. Out of interest, well, I've given it away. Do you think the number of people divorcing is increasing or decreasing? Wrong, it's decreasing. It's decreasing in Australia. And the reason for that is manifold, because there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. One of the reasons is that lots of people live together and never make a marriage commitment. So those are not in the stats. So we don't actually know what's happening with them. Here's another interesting fact. Those who are married who have children are 40% less likely to get divorced. Now that's an interesting one to reflect on, because there's a whole load of reasons why that may be the case. And here's another interesting fact. This is all from the Australian thingy of statistics. Those who, for whatever reason, and again, don't, if you're divorced, don't mishear this. Don't, this is not condemnation. This is just statistics. Those who've been married once are six and marry again are 60% more likely to divorce again, which is a really sad statistic. And what that tells you is that there's something going on in terms of how they understand it. Now, we could go into lots of questions about that, of course, lots and lots and lots. And the statistics don't talk about all the people who live together and then break up because they're not registered in the same way, even though legally they're de facto marriage. But what's interesting is that in a marriage, you covenant with one another before God. We actually make a covenant to each other before God. And you say, I'm committing to this person in richer and poorer, in sickness and health. Now, the Bible does allow reasons for divorce. If there's abuse, if there's abandonment, if there's adultery, you know, there's a number of reasons why the Bible gives us legitimate grounds for divorce. But generally speaking, the aspiration is, by faith, you make this commitment, and by faith, you're going to keep it. And that's why we invoke God's help in it, because it's an impossible thing, in one sense, to live it out without grace. Yeah? Marriage is hard. Ask my wife. She somehow persevered with me. I don't know how she's done it. Anyway, so this idea of love and faithfulness is then reflected in myriad choices. One of Mum and I had a friend in Bear's Den. Her husband was a consultant at one of the hospitals, and he got multiple sclerosis. And we watched him over 10 years. I used to visit when I got up, basically deteriorate. And what was so amazing was Eileen's love for him. And she looked after him and cared for him right to the point when he could barely do anything at all. Her experience of marriage at that point was one long give. Now, she said that even though that was the case in one level, she was still experiencing a lot in that relationship. But the bottom line was, it was a really hard run out of life, and he died. And it was terrible. And we all longed for him to be well, and he wasn't. But in the course of those 10 years, he wrote some stuff and he was able to do, we could tell you lots of things that were good about it. But the bottom line is that wasn't the way that they wanted their marriage to go. And some of you have had really hard goodbyes to people you've loved. And you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And you'll know that feelings come and go and all of that, but there's a sort of choice that you keep on making. And that's a very gracious thing to do. And it's hard and it's hard and it's hard. But that's also true of our relationship with each other in the church. We're never going to like everybody in the church. It's just inevitable. So we're not asked to like everybody, although we want to work towards that, but we're asked to love our brothers and sisters. We're asked to be faithful to our brothers and sisters. That's the kind of thing that this is going at. And there's blessings that come with it. So I'm just going to wrap this up fairly quickly. I talked about it being a fruit of the Spirit. So again, don't fall into striving, but think of it as a measure. Think of it as a challenge to say, okay, Lord, I aspire to this. I recognize my own inability to do it. How can I do it? Well, Lord, I need you to do it in me, through me, to bear that fruit in my life. Help me to cooperate with you in this. We listened to the reading from Philippians 1. Did you notice Paul's love for the Philippians? It's known as the letter of joy. He really loved the Philippians. And that spills out in the way he writes to them. I thank God for your partnership in the gospel. And he's been encouraged because they're being so generous and wanting to bless others. And they've really captured his heart for the wider church. And he's just overjoyed about that. And his love for them is reflected in his faithful prayer support, his writing towards them, his sending of people to help them, a whole load of different things. So love and faithfulness and faith are all there in that reading if you want to read it again. And then in our Luke reading, we had the centurion, slightly different aspect to it. He understood trust and he understood authority. He was a God-fearer. He was a Gentile who'd come to believe in the God of the Jews, but he wasn't free to worship, but he'd offered, if you like, a sacrifice of well-doing by building the synagogue and by supporting the local Jewish community. And in the logic of the do-gooders should be blessed, they say, Jesus, you ought to help this man because he's a good man. And Jesus hears that. But this man responds with incredible trust, doesn't he? He takes the Lord and he says, I believe that you've got authority and I'm going to trust you to speak into the situation. I mean, that's a remarkable faith, isn't it? So the faith that God can speak into our situations and make that which is not well, well, is something that is demonstrated by him as an incredible step of faith. Every time we take God seriously in his promises and say, I'm going to believe your word even though I don't feel it, even though I'm struggling with it, that is a sign of great faith and trust. So as we explore this teaching, don't let it lead to condemnation. That's not the goal. But we are going to challenge you. If you pick up the Bible studies, we've got a whole load of very practical activities to do every week, and I'd encourage you to look at those and think about doing them. If you're listening to this today, and thank you for listening, if you haven't got a hard copy, if you're not in a small group, just contact the office. We're really happy for everyone in our church community to work through this Bible study with us. And we're going to try and do an online Bible study group on this starting next week. So if you're interested in that, please contact the office and we'll arrange that. And those of you in small groups, your small group leaders are going to be leading you through this. And then each week, we want to be encouraging each other about how we've maybe put something into practice. At the family service, we're going to challenge everyone to say, look out for love and faithfulness and faith this week. That's the family challenge. Look out for love, faith, and faithfulness. Isn't it wonderful that many Western Australians chose to exercise faithfulness to our civic obligations by wearing masks and actually obeying the law that was put down? Isn't that wonderful? I was thanking God for all the faithfulness of people just doing what we've been asked to do. I was saddened by the mass panic that happened on the Sunday afternoon and Monday that I heard about. We just waited till Monday afternoon and it was fine by then. People going into shops in great panic. Even though Mark McGowan had said, look everyone, there's no crisis over the shops, please don't panic. And before the message was out, apparently the shops are filling up. It tells you about something, doesn't it? And if you're in that situation, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But actually, it was interesting how many people did do what he said. And I thought, I really appreciate the clarity of the way he's communicated. One thing he's doing well is communicating well, isn't he? So that was good. So, and praise God, the fruit of that was that here we are. I mean, how blessed are we? How blessed are we? And that's lovely, because people are not just thinking of themselves, they're thinking of other people when they put their masks on, when they're actually exercising restraint, when they're actually doing those things. That's actually love, and that's faith, and that's faithfulness as a civilian, a civic member of Australian society. Something that I'm thinking about, because, good news, all of us have been told that we are going to be admitted as citizens to Australia. I know, so I'm very happy about that. We're waiting for Jax to come through. It came through on Friday. So thank you, that's very exciting. And we feel an obligation. I'm obliged now to defend Australia if it's ever attacked, as are you. I'm given the privilege of voting. What a joy to actually be involved in that. And I have the joyful experience of continuing to pay taxes, which is a good thing, because that pays for lots of very good things. And so it goes on. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fruit of the Spirit, love and faithfulness. Lord, we want to be a people who grow in these fruit in every part of our lives. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you breathe through us into our church life and into the wider community, and that, Father God, we could be a very positive witness to your love and your faithfulness to a world that doesn't yet know it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.